Genesis 12 and Ezekiel 15. Read the first three verses of the Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let me read that last line again. And in thee, Abram, shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's the Parnell family, and the Neff family, and the Sproul family, and your family, and mine. All families of the earth will be blessed through this man Abraham. 15th chapter of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was cold, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and is burned? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, As the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. Every one of us no doubt love to read stories or hear stories of victory and miracles and the blessings of God and how God has come on the scene and done something wonderful in our lives, but Ezekiel, the prophet here, is foretelling the judgment that was to come upon Abraham's seed, upon the nation of Israel. And I know what I'm going to say now. In the next few moments, you will soon forget, probably before I finish even mentioning it. But I believe nonetheless it is important. I mentioned some of it Wednesday night. We've been studying the book of Genesis on Wednesday nights, and I would like to just share some things. When Abraham was 75 years of age, God called him to leave his family and leave his homeland and leave his friends and follow me, the Lord said. I will give you a land. I will direct your paths if you'll just follow me. It took faith for Abraham to obey God. And it'll take faith for you to obey God. But if you don't obey God, look at the consequences. Lost forever. And so when he's 75 years old, God said, I want you to leave your homeland. And then he goes on to tell him that I will bless you and bless your family, and you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And so 11 years later, when Abram was 86, he fathered a son by Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden for Sarah. And they named him Ishmael. But I want you to remember this. Ishmael was born out of the will of God. And so Ishmael was not a part of the promise of God. Ishmael was not a part of the seed of Abraham that was going to be a blessing to the whole world. And then we go on to find out that when Abraham was 100 years old, has been in the land 25 years, that Isaac is born, and now God is saying through Isaac, I'm going to fulfill the promise. I want you to remember this. 25 years have passed. God has made a great promise, and only three people make up the household of Abraham, or the promised people of God. 25 years, and only three make up that nation called Israel. And then the Bible tells me that after this, some time when Isaac was a young man, that his mama died. Sarah passed away, leaving just two people to make up the kingdom, or to make up the nation of Israel that God has promised. Only Abraham and Isaac.
3 years later, Isaac was married. He married his cousin. And the Bible tells me that now there are three that look at this nation. Later on, Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Now there are five. And it seems as if the nation is on its way to becoming what God had promised. But then you know the story. How that after they had been in the Israel or in Canaan land for 100 years, Abraham dies, and it leaves only 4 people making up the nation. God's made a promise. I'm going to bless the whole world through your seed, Abraham. And 100 years later, only 4 people make up the nation. And afterwards, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And now he's angry because his birthright is gone, and because he sold his birthright, he's not a part of the promise any longer. And so we're back down to another number. And then the Bible says that Esau declared that he's going to kill Jacob because Jacob has taken the birthright, and if that had happened, there would have been back to 2 people. After all of these years, I want you to remember something before I close out this portion. God made a promise to Abraham. And if God makes a promise to you, stand on it. Don't let anyone cause you to think that it's not going to take place. I don't care about the circumstances. I don't care how the winds might blow, how the storms might raise, whatever takes place. If God makes a promise, stand on it. I want to make a statement. It will take place.
Yes, it will.
And one more statement. It will be right on time. God has never been known to be late.
Yes, that's right.
And He's not about to start being late now.
Right.
It'd be good for all of us to follow that pattern.
Amen.
Amen. I just threw that in. That's good. Be on time.
Amen.
Thank God. Jacob prayed for his life, and Esau, his brother, is out to kill him. He goes to visit his uncle in Syria. Stays there a while, and while he's there, he marries 2 of his cousins, Leah and Rachel. And now, from about the promised land, we find that the nation is finally beginning to make a start. How that now Jacob and his 2 wives, and then they have some sons, and the nation that God had promised Abraham is about to begin. This will be a special people. So let me just share this with you here to begin with. God called Abraham, and he said, I want you to be a father of many nations and be a blessing to the people of the world, but your people, the seed of Abraham that is in Israel, will be a special people. They'll be my people, and there'll be one reason for their being in existence. Number one, that they will tell the world that there is only one God, the true God. You love Him and serve Him. There's no other gods but the one true Jehovah God. Then you're to live the life of holiness and righteousness so that they will see that the one God that you're preaching and teaching and serving is surely the same God that Abraham served.
Amen.
Amen. You're an example to the world. I'm going to put it in your care to tell the world that God is God, and you're to live the life and to live holy, and you're to be what I would have you to be. And I can say this morning, if you are saved by grace, you are a special person today in the eyes of God. I've mentioned before, I'm not a politician. I follow what's going on, some. I'm not a politician, in case you don't know it. Did you know Christianity is really being besmirched? People walk on eggshells in our government structure when it comes to Islam or when it comes to this or when it comes to this. But when it comes to Christianity, they stomp on it. Seems like they could care less. And so when things happen, as it looks like we're trying to put in some areas, it seems like we're trying to put God out of our very thoughts and out of our nation and out of our constitution, out of everything. I want you to know they'll do whatever they can do, but they'll never be able to take God out of your heart and my heart if you hold on to God. We are a special people. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We've been redeemed. We are the saints of the Most High. We are one of those saved men. We are special in the eyes of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, some years later, and I'm not going to stay with all the history this morning, but we know that God called Moses to be the leader of the children of Israel, and when it was time for them to come out of Egyptian bondage, after all of these years, the Bible tells me that the nation of Israel was not only two or three, like it had been way back on in the early days, but now it's some 2 or 3 million, and God leads them out by His high hand, out of the bondage, and out of slavery, and out of torture, and out of affliction, and God leads them out in that, and they wander through the wilderness for 40 years, like the Sunday school lesson said today, because of the hardness of their heart, they wandered in the wilderness, and so God help us not to be like they were. Then Joshua leads them on over into the promised land. All of these years have passed since God has called Abram out of his homeland and follow the Lord. Now, God, over and over again, God's made promises to Israel and to us. He said, I'll make you a blessing, and you'll be a blessing to others. And yet He said, there are some conditions. If you're serving with all of your heart, and if you refrain from worshiping idols, and if you obey the commandments, and if you live righteous and holy lives, you'll be able to do this. He said, I will bless you, and I'll send rain upon your crops, and they will flourish, and I will keep you from the diseases that they had in Egypt, and I will cause you to defeat the enemy, and you'll live in peace, and I will walk with you, and you with me, and I'll be your God, and you will be my people. Brother, that's a promise. In fact, God was saying, if you'll obey me, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you'll not even be able to contain it. I'll fill the storeroom of your heart. I'll fill the garage. I'll fill the kitchen and the dining room of your heart. The bedroom and the living room. I'll fill it, the attic. I'll fill it all. It will serve me. My, what a promise from Almighty God. If you'll just serve me and love me and live for me, you're a special people. And I'll bless you. He said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you beyond anything you can imagine, really. It's what He's saying. Let me leave this with you today. That same promise is for you and me. With all the blessings and all that's happened, 1,300 years have passed when I came to Ezekiel's writing. The people of God have failed God. The prophet says, judgment's coming. What a different story from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Abraham, obey me, and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless your name, and I'm going to bless your family. And I'm going to make of you a great nation, and not only that, out of your very loins, you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world, including America. Thank God. What a promise He made. And now Ezekiel says, 1,300 years have passed. And Ezekiel said to the nation of Israel, because you've disobeyed, and because you've gone into idolatry, and because you have not kept my commandments, and because you haven't loved me like I wanted you to, and you haven't served me, there is judgment coming. And I read the 15th chapter of Ezekiel, and I want to come back to that. It's a sad picture. All that God had done through the years, and now judgment's coming. In the second verse, He said, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Ezekiel says, mentions the trees of the forest. And I'm going to confess. I am not a horticulturist. I don't know a lot about plants and trees and what have you. I read up some. I found that most trees are of value. Most trees have more than one something of use, of value. I read that the roots of trees are good for medicine. And some of the old timers that didn't get to the doctor, they learned that. I talked to Brother Charlie Rice there one time. And he said, I'll tell you what's good for a colt. Go to a pine tree and get a gob of that sap or whatever it is and just put it with vinegar and drink it. I thought, yes, if you don't get well, it'll kill you. But they had all kind of remedies. And listen to us there. Many of them worked. And even today, with all of our technology, a lot of things are getting back to the nature. They tell me that the bark of trees is used for tanning animal hides. I didn't know that. They tell me that, well, we know the fruit of the tree, the apples, the orange bear, that's just good. $3.69 for a 3-pound bag of oranges about that big around. With a little taste. God's talking about maybe more than that. Think about the root and the bark and the fruit of the tree. Even when the tree's cut down, this came from a tree. So many uses of the tree. But then he says, but the vine is not like that. You can use the bark of a vine, doesn't have it. You can use the vine in making the paper. You can use the vine for this. It doesn't have but one purpose, the Bible says. And that's what Ezekiel is writing about, the trees of the forest. He says the only use that the vine has is to bear fruit. Someone said, as I was reading, how that it puts all that it has into bearing grapes and having a cluster of grapes, but without bearing fruit, the vine is of no benefit. You've been around a farm where they had dewberries, and at the close of the season, the vines dry up and die, and they cut them off. I'll tell you what they do with them. They burn them. They have no benefit. You see, those that have grape vineyards, and we lived right next to a 40-acre grape vineyard in Lamont, California, and had the privilege of going in the vineyard and getting all we want any time we wanted. Brother, that's a blessing. Thompson seedless. Grapevines everywhere out there in the Lamont area. And when the grape season was down, they trimmed the grapes vines. They cut them off and burnt them. No benefit. Without bearing fruit, there is no benefit. And so I come to the sermon proper today. The vine is a type of the nation of Israel. And God said, if Israel does not hold my name high, if Israel does not proclaim that I am God, the only God, if Israel does not live holy and righteous and bear fruit, then Israel will have been of no benefit to this world. Israel will have failed in what it's called to be, the special people of God. And you know the story, how that Israel failed God, how that they went about doing their own things. And I thought the only purpose, and I thought about the trees, and I jotted something down. There are so many purposes and so many things that a tree is used for. And it's the same with nations, and the same with churches, and the same with families, and the same with individuals, you and me. God created you, and God created me for a purpose. And that purpose is to love God. That purpose is to have fellowship with God. And I want you to mark this down today. Your purpose for being here is to serve mankind. I didn't get too many amens. I want you to listen. Your purpose for being here today, your purpose for living, is not to be selfish. It's to reach out to others. Be a blessing to someone else. I might have mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. I was visiting not long ago with someone, and in the course of the conversation, the person was so excited. I received a card, just a small card in the mail from one of the people of the church. In that small card, just the thought of somebody sending me a card with just a word or two in it meant more than you can imagine. If you were that someone that sent the card today, that card meant more than you'll ever know in this life. Little things. God's got us here for a purpose, to bear fruit. To bear fruit. To live good lives. To serve God. To obey God. To love Him. And to do good deeds for others. To live for others. I can remember. Isn't it amazing some things you can remember from way, way, way back? And ask me what we had for lunch day before yesterday. Edward didn't even have lunch, did we, honey? I remember my mom being the leader of the youth group at our church when I was growing up. I remember one time in the youth service, we called them the lifeliners, the young people. My mother gave a devotion, an object lesson or something. And I remember her speaking about joy. And she said it this way, and it stuck in my mind for these last so many years. If you want real joy, start with J, Jesus. Put Him first. Let me leave that with you today. If Jesus is not first, you're missing out. O comes next. My mother said the O stands for others. After Jesus, others. Y stands for yourself. Yourself is last. If yourself is out of the in the wrong place, if yourself is before others, you're selfish and you're not doing what God would have you do. Now, if everybody right now said amen, I feel like I got through. Do you understand what I just said? Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. God has saved us. We are special people today. We've been born again. We are children of the Most High God. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we're placed here to serve others. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but I've come to serve. And we sing, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. But somebody else needs to serve me, but I want to be like Jesus. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're called to serve. Whoever it was that sent that card, send another. Send another. Make a phone call. Make a visit. Yeah. You're called to serve. To pray, to give, to witness. That's our life, and if we fail to do that, we failed in the most important part. I said, but Brother Jones, I love the Lord with all of my heart. If you do, you serve.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have anyone in mind at all, so I just push that out of my heart. If it falls on my family, it falls on my family. If it falls on yours, it'll fall on yours. Some people have been in church 50 years. Don't know one thing about serving. You might as well say amen. I've known people that have been in service in church for years and years and years, and you never see them do one thing. We have a lunch, we have a picnic or whatever we do, whatever it is, they're standing on the sidelines. I wasn't raised that way. And I'm not here to preach my convictions. I'm here to preach what the Bible has to say. We're called to serve. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it. Do it with all of your might, the Bible says. Serve God with everything you've got. I was raised that way. I'm not here to lift myself up, but I just don't understand something. Brother, the joy is serving others. The joy is when you can do something that pleases someone else. Someone else is blessed and someone else is lifted up. Someone else is encouraged along the way. That blesses your heart.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't understand it when I was a young boy. My mom would say on Saturday, son, go with me today. I knew where we were going. We were going to church. We weren't Seventh-day Adventists. We were going to church to clean the church. Lived in Fox Hill and the church was in New Bermuda. And I don't know which direction I'm going right now. I don't know where. You take your choice, wherever it is. Fox Hill and Newport News. Get in the car, drive to New Bermuda, clean the church. And go home. Go through East Hampton and stop by one store and get an ice cream sandwich. It's worth it all. The next Saturday, clean the church. I've said this before. Again, I'm not tooting my own horn. On the night that my wife and I got saved, we knew what the Bible said. We were going to serve God with all of our heart. We'd been in and out and up and down, but we made up our mind. Jesus, if you'll take us back one more time, we'll serve you. We went home. Church was over. We went home, got our checkbook, and wrote our tithes and put them back in the church. And the church was closed. And so we went to the parsonage, handed our tithes to the pastor to put in the offering, because we wanted to serve God. And we know if we're going to serve God, we need to go all the way.
Amen.
Now, that's worthy of more than three or four amens. If the cross of God served him. And the Bible says that God called his people special. And he said, if you'll serve me and love me and live for me, I will bless you abundantly. I will heal the sick. I will cause your heart, your crop to have an abundant harvest. I'll just keep sickness. I'll just bless you abundantly. But I want to go a little further from the book of Ezekiel. He was saying in the second part, although this tree served many purposes, listen closely, the vine tree serves only one that I mentioned. And that is bearing fruit. If for some reason the vine does not produce fruit, it is good for nothing. Nothing. The vine's bark, the vine's roots, the vine when it's cut down, whatever, it's no benefit unless it bears fruit. A type of the nation of Israel, called by God to be a chosen people, called to serve him. And God outlined some standards, and God said to Israel, you will live holy if you're going to be my people. Serve me with all of your heart if you're going to be my people. And if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. But if you don't serve me with all of your heart, I cannot use you. The vine type of the nation of Israel had one purpose, primarily to bear fruit. And you know why God saved us? Not just to keep us out of hell, not just to give us a ticket to heaven. God saved us to serve. God saved us to live for him. God saved us that we might be a witness. That our lives might be lived in such a manner that we'll be a blessing to others. In preparing the sermon, a thought came to me and I jotted it down. We ought to have the desire to leave this world a little bit better off than it was when we arrived. Said, well, Brother Jones, I'm not important enough to make a mark. If you're saved, you can make a mark. If you can witness to one person and let one person get saved and be forever in heaven for the next eternity, all eternity, let me tell you something. Your life will not have been lived in vain. We're called to serve, to be a blessing to others, to exhort, to lift up, to strengthen, to hold each other's hand. My God, thank you for the Sunday school lesson. Dreamer, you did an outstanding job. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson this morning, God. How that you blessed and made us a blessing. But if Israel fail, God's called them, and if they fail in doing what God would have them to be, listen closely, there was no other purpose for their being. There was no other reason for God calling them but to lift up the name of God. He's the only God. Let me again say today, and I hope this finds a lodging place in your mind and in your heart. How will the world know there's only one God? Our president and the president before, and maybe many others before that, have tried to be politically correct when it comes to religion. And so some of the leaders of our land, in the Congress, in the Senate, in the House, in the mayorship, and in the governorships, and all the rest, they tried to be so careful about not hurting someone, and that somehow they tried to make the God of heaven equal with Allah, or Buddha, or Muhammad. There's only one God. And the man that serves any God except the true God is lost. But Brother Jones, there's over 1 billion people of Islam. If they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're lost. There are other religions that are contrary to the Bible. If they don't believe in Jesus, they're lost. We are called to be a blessing. I got a call some months ago, maybe a year or two ago now, of the young boy that got saved in our ministry when he was 9 years of age. And now he's in his 60s. And he's in an international ministry, religious ministry, around the world. He had been in some kind of a conference or some kind of a convention or something, and someone mentioned about the others that have had an impact on your life. Someone maybe that said something or did something that helped you along the way, whatever it was. He said, I was thinking about it and I just wanted to call you to tell you thank you for picking me up on the bus to come to Sunday school, and I got saved. I want you to know that God's blessed me abundantly. And there's been a lot of people saved through my ministry, he says, and I just wanted you to know that. Thank you for sharing Jesus. Listen closely. It doesn't take much. Just obey God. Just a word. Just a tract. Just serving the God of heaven. The only purpose of the vine was to bear fruit. And the real purpose of the nation of Israel was to lift up the Almighty God and live a right life. Let me leave this with you before I come to the last point. When people claim to be Christians and don't live the life, they don't realize how much they are hindering the cause of Christ. Let me say that again so everyone get it. Those that claim to be saved, profess Christianity, and don't live the life. God said, live holy, live righteous. Don't live the life. They are a hindrance to the cause of Christ. Somebody's watching your life today. Someone's watching my life today. In fact, I had someone in the Golden Corral. Can you believe we go to Golden Corral once in a while? I went in the other day to the Golden Corral, and it must have been 97. That was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Maybe hotter. And a lady got out of the car next to ours, and we were walking, and she said, sir, what in the world have you got a suit on for? Take that coat off! She was burning up! Of course, she was. She thought I was. And I'll just leave this with you, and I'm no better than anyone else, and I'm not saying this to put anyone else down, because God doesn't require me to wear a coat every day. When he called me to preach, he said, now put a necktie and coat on every day. But I've had it on so long, I would feel uncomfortable without it when I go out in public. Please understand, that's not in the Bible. That's not required. God didn't require it of me. He didn't tell me to. That's where I have tried to live my life. Wherever I go in the public, with a necktie and coat on, not because I'm trying to lift myself up, but I'm representing the Lord. Amen. And you can represent the Lord without a coat on. Please understand. But I'm a representative, I'm an ambassador of Christ. And when America sends an ambassador to China or Bangladesh or wherever it is, they're representatives of America. When the Lord saved me, he sent me out to be a representative of his. And if I lift him up, and if I live right, and if I serve the Lord with all of my heart, I can be a good representative. But if I fail in representing Christ, I might let others down, and what will happen to them? What are you saying, preacher? The vine is a type of the nation of Israel, and God has saved them, and directed them, and blessed them, and kept them all these years. And now they've gone into idolatry. They've gone away from God, and Ezekiel is giving a prophecy of the judgment that's coming to them. And let me just finish up today in the last part of the sermon. If I lay the vine that fails to bear fruit, the Bible says it's destined for the fire. I'm going to read the fourth verse. Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both the ends of it and the midst of it is burned. Let me say it again. The vine that could not bear fruit was cast into the fire. The other trees are cut down and they are useful for all kinds of things. But the vine represents the nation of Israel. And as long as they obey God and serve God and live right, they will be in a blessing. But when they fail to do that, God said judgment's coming. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. What do you say, preacher? History reveals, and I'm going to close. History reveals that in 8 years, from the time that Ezekiel gave this prophecy, how did the people of God, the seed of Abraham, that's promised to be a blessing to the whole world, in 8 years, Babylon came and besieged the city, captured the people, destroyed the temple, burned down the walls, left the city in rubbish. Judgment came. Because the people of God called to be his servants, to love him and serve him, fellowship with him, had gotten caught up with idolatry, had failed to obey the commandments, had failed to live holy and righteous. As my wife comes to the piano and I close, when God saved you and me, he saved us to live right and be a blessing. And the same thing that he said to Israel, he says to us, I want you to live holy and righteous. That's all. That's all I require. Live right. Do good. Live right and do good to others. Serve God. And the only way you can serve God is by serving others. So, Brother Jones, I can bring a loaf of bread to God. He doesn't need it. Give it to someone else. That's serving others. That's serving God. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. I preached to someone this morning that, as far as I know, I've never even tried to preach something like this. Along these lines, we are called to serve. And if you have joy and I have joy, it'll be because we were a blessing to someone, helped someone along the way, did something, made a phone call, visited, lift someone up, bent down and we help them up. It's so easy. Listen, it is so easy to find fault. My daddy said a long time ago, son, surely there's good in everybody. There's some good in everybody. And so somebody in the barbershop said, well, how about him? And he was an evil man. How about him? What good is in him? And somebody spoke up, he sure can whistle good. Lift somebody up. You want a good week this week at the Lord Terrace? Do something good for somebody else. Call someone and encourage them. Go by and visit them. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care. Let them know you're thinking about them. Thank God. When I got that letter this week from Stephen, Brother Belcher's son, when his mother died, Stephen didn't like this church. He'd never been here. He didn't like me. Never seen me. I went to visit the house, the home. Stephen was back in a room and he wouldn't even come out. Another time I went and we were going to have prayer and Stephen walked down the, he lives in Carolina. He walked down the hall and he told me, he said, Brother Jones, I didn't like you. I didn't know you. But he said, because of your church, that's the way he said it, because of the leaders of your church coming and staying with my mother and visiting her in the hospital, coming and sitting with her when Brother Beale had to go to the doctor or go to get his cards, but whatever. Some of the ladies of the church went and sat down for an hour or 2 hours and just visited. Talked about the Lord. And Stephen said, your church is different. And he got saved. And I hear from him every month. He's serving God. And when he wrote that letter this week about his friend that has that West Nile virus, and I asked him, I called him, and he mentioned about his own condition. He can't raise his arms. They thought he had Lou Gehrig's disease. He's in bad shape. They're hoping as he goes to Duke, to the hospital the latter part of this month, they'll be able to find something. But he said these words when I called him. He said, but I'm still trusting in God. I thought that's the answer. Thank God for medical science, but trust in God. Could I leave one thought with you today? The vine is a type of the nation of Israel. And when the nation of Israel didn't go God's way, the vine went in the fire. And for you and me today, we have a purpose in life. I didn't know that I was going to be a preacher. I didn't ask God to let me preach. I had some other things in mind. I really wanted to be a pilot, a jet pilot. That didn't work out. I wanted to really play the guitar. That didn't work out. Maybe some other things, but when God called me to preach, I found the preaching is serving others. And it's not only for the preachers, it's for everybody. This is for every Christian. Do something good
for someone this week. And watch God bless you. Will you stand together with me?